Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhak ben Kohos ben Levi, the Dosan of Aviram. Rashi brings down over here Parsha Zun and Reshus Yofeb, Medrash Tanchuma, which Parsha Tibshat is, most of the Pshatim that Rashi is going to bring down now is from the Medrash Tanchuma. If you look, it's all from the Medrash Tanchuma. It's just a Hagdama to the Pirushim that he's going to bring down, but everybody has something to say about Parsha Zun and Reshus Yofeb, either because sometimes you give a speech in a get to Pesach, it's Yitzias Mitzrayim, that doesn't pass for Shavuos. You give a drush on Matan Torah, Kabbalah Zat Torah, so that doesn't really pass for Pesach. But there's certain rushes that addresses you for wherever you are. Unfortunately, Machloikis is all too prevalent. So in Mela Parshas and addresses you for. But I once heard also a good drush in this Parshas and addresses you for. We know that the Torah has Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod. And Maral, with others from bring down that the world is also like that. The world also has Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sight. The Pshat is the Olam that you see in front of you. And there's higher Chalakim of the world. For example, it says Yaakov Avinu Loimeis. We saw that. So the Gemara says, Mikrani Dairish. I Dairish in the Pasuk. So Hutna teaches that to mean, the Olam HaPshat, the way they saw it, he was nifted. Yaakov Avinu's alive on a higher level. There's a different world, and he still remains, his presence remains with Klal Yisrael. So the world has a Pshat Remez Midrash Seder either. I sort of Yaakov Kamenetsky says, within every person there's a Pshat Remez Midrash Seder. There's the way he acts out in the open, and there's the motivating factors deep down inside him. You know, what motivates him? You never know why a person's doing something. That's the Remez Drush inside within the person. The kidneys are the ones that give aces. What does that mean? So Yankov teaches that to mean that there are deep down beneath the person, there are different motivating factors that he himself doesn't even realize. Right? Deep down within the person. So just like the body has its different Chalakim that function within the person, there's different motivating factors, and he doesn't even realize it himself. Parses and regressions, you have to understand Korach, you have to go deep down inside to beneath the surface. On the surface, it makes absolutely no sense how such a tzaddik could become what he became. Rashi says, Vayikach Korach, what did he take? It doesn't say what he took. Lokach es atzmo l'tzad echad. He moved himself away. He separated himself from the Gehillah. So Shimon Schwab Zatzal says a moment of Kipshat over here in Lokach Es Atzmai. There are drush, but it's a moment of thing. How could it be that Korach was from the Levim that answered Mil Hashem Eli to Moshe Rabbeinu? They came up. They didn't look at family, friends, nothing. They came to Moshe Rabbeinu's side. Korach was from the Noisei Aron. He carried the Aron, that means the Aron carried him as well. Aron, Aron, Noisei, it's Noisei. He was Mamash, the Oivdei Hashem was Noir of Aron. So how could it be that this is what became of him? So Shimon Schwab says, Lokach et Atzma, he found his himself. He found his Ani. That means originally he did the Avodah, he was Moshe Nefesh, and originally he was Mavatl himself, a total Mavatlus. There was no Ani like Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron that were totally Mavatl themselves, Shevet Levi, that were right there, Hashem, they were totally Mavatl themselves. There was no Ani. But then all of a sudden, Lokach Es Atzma, he found himself, he found his own self-interest, and that clouded his vision, and that's how it became. When one person sees only himself, then all the koichos that he puts in are now used for himself, and that could be a terribly, terribly damaging thing. Of a Frechter of Shimon Schwab, but how did it become like that? Lamais is good, that's what happened. Ober, he was on such a high madrega. How could it be that he sunk to such a low? So he brings down a pshat from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And kol ha-godl mechaveiroi yitzroi godl yimen. Whoever is greater than his friend, the Yetzer Hara is greater. That you have to understand, how could it be a person that's with Hashem? He's greater than the regular guy off the street. And his Yetzirah is greater. You see, it's not like that. You see the Maisa, he's doing Avodas Hashem. How can you say his Yetzirah is greater? So Rabbi Yisrael Salanta Zetzal, for a person that is waxing Avodas Hashem, the Yetzirah doesn't have to work too hard. You know, he gives him a poke here and a poke there, and it just goes by itself. But the fellow that's Avodas Hashem, the Emes, and he goes to he comes with minyan three times a day and has kriyas darim all the time. He's oisik in chasadim. That Yetzirah is a very difficult time with. And then he has to work overtime to penetrate the inside of the person and talk him into things that he doesn't even realize the Yetzirah is functioning on. He plants a little thought here and a little thought there and a little thought there, and he keeps on gnawing away at him little by little by little. The Yetzirah has patience. Sfarim say Yetzirah has plenty of time. He's willing to little by little by little by little. Yoichanan Kayin Godel was Mishamish B'Kahuna for 80 years. And L'Besayf Nasa Tzaduki, I want you from Rishal Shvadron, that the Yetzirah was planting little seeds. And the Yetzirah has plenty of time. 80 years investment. And with the same level was the investment made off that. Yoichanan Kayin Godel. He went off the derech. And that's the same thing that happened with Kairos. First Eitzel, it's someone that has a Hislahavas and Avoida. First Eitzel, the Yetzirah can't just, you know, knock him off just like that. So he plants a little seed, a little ani. Hey, you gotta worry about yourself, you know. I'm not talking about Gashmias, wicked things. I'm talking about your Ruchnias. If you'd be a Kayin, Manish, you'd be much closer to Hashem. You'd be doing the Avoida, you'd be doing this, you'd be doing that. I'm not talking about Gashmias, I mean Hashem Shemaim. I don't mean any selfish things. You have to worry about your own Ruchnias. And that goes weiter and weiter and weiter and weiter. And then his wife comes into the picture, and she also has a say in the matter. And that's the end of that. That's the way it works. That's called Kolat Mechaber Yitzhak Godel Heimenu. The greater the person is, the Yetzirah has to develop it on a much deeper level, and it's much harder to get rid of such a Yetzirah. Because the Yetzirah has to work on a deeper level, he's deeply implanted within the person, unlike the fellow that does that very easily. Yetzirah is there from the outside, but in the tzaddik, if he finally gets to him, he's deeply implanted, it's much more difficult to get rid of it. Chaim Zaitchik, Zeichet Tzaddik Levracha, who's from the Bali Musar of the previous generation. I was zeichet to see him, I was a kid. And he said, Shmuz and Tells, he's in the big, big Bali, he was in a Vardika. So in his Sefer, he brings out a Maisa that Rabbi Yonis Naipshis used to say over that he was once away from home for Yom Kippur. And he was in a shul and he wanted to find a seat for Yom Kippur while he'd be davening next to someone that's up to smire him as well. So he sees by mincha erev Yom Kippur, he sees a fellow davening, he's crying away. And then afterwards he says, Rabbi Mishloilam, Afrani b'chayai kalachayma b'misosim. He's crying away, saying such as lahavas. And he says, this is the man I want to sit next to. And that night by Meir is giving gevaldi, the fellow's davening away for all he's worth. Mamash crying in front of Hashem. And the next morning by Shachris, it was Meirli. Then came Kriyas HaTorah. They were mechabit somebody, the Gabi was mechabit somebody else with Shlishi, and this fellow he gave a Ravi. He exploded. How you talking? He runs over to the Gabi. You give Shlishi, and me, you only give Ravi. He starts screaming at him, do commercials, do this. How can you do that? So he was a little beside him, so he couldn't believe what he was saying. This is what he was saying. See, after the fellow comes back to his seat, he says, Rabbi, I've never seen you daven on the same time, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Afrani B'chayai, Kal B'chayim B'misosi. So how could it be that now you come and you make such a tumble over the Aliyah? So what's the kasha? When I'm talking to the Rabbi Nishloi, I'm clapping the Rabbi Nishloi, Afrani B'chayai, Kal B'chayim B'misosi. But to him, he's also Afravei. For him, he should get the kibbutz of Shlishi, and I get Ravi, Achutz B'nazim. Trying to bring out, saying of Chaim Zaitchik, the Bali Musar, you know, how a person can manage serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu is lahavas, and inside's rotten. You know, and the tzaddikim, oivdei Hashem, they always were biting themselves. They always tested themselves to see what is the mania, the moving force within me that is motivating me to do what I'm doing. Is it coming from a pure source or not? Satmar Rebbe Zechitzali, the Kodesh Lebracha, one time they held a demonstration in Manhattan. I think it was against Chitutei Kfarim, against uprooting the Kfarim excavations. So they held it in the Javits Center, I think it was. And before the dam, before this big asifa, the shamash sees the Satmar Rebbe pacing back and forth, and he's very nervous. So he asks the Rebbe, he says, "What's the Rebbe nervous about?" He says, "I'm nervous about doing this whole thing." He says, "The Rebbe's afraid, the Rebbe has sveikis, you know." And I said, "I don't have sveikis, but I have sveikis in myself. Why am I doing this? Am I doing it because I mean the emes, or I'm doing it because I want to be menatzeich over them? And there's some personal gain over here for me." That's what he was being baited before him. So the tzaddikim, they were always biting. They were, this is Al Meltzer. There was once a person that came to Eretz Yisrael, and there was a shaila whether to give him kavod or not. If Rabbi Zalman should go visit him where he was staying. So Rabbi Zalman went to the house, and then he made the decision whether he should go in or not. I don't know whether he went in or not, that I don't know. But that's when he made the decision. Why? Because if he's in his house, he's like, yeah, but you know, he's lazy, you know, whatever. But they used to be biting themselves and see what is the motivating factor. And that's what happened over here with Kairach. Kairach, who was a gewaldig, Oyvid Hashem with this life, he was from the Noisei HaOrein. And still, this is what happened to him. So number one, he was Lokech HaSatzmai. He started becoming aware of his own self-interest. And number two, how did that happen? It's because the Yetzirah works deeper on a deeper level with the greater the person is. Vayikolu al Moshev al Aaron. Kaira gathered a whole following, and they gathered against Moshe and Aaron. Vayomer aleim rav lochem. You took too much covet for yourself. Ki chol ha'ed kulim kedoshim uvisoichem Hashem umadua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. Shem Yishmuel asks, how is it possible for Kairach to be able to schlep 250 Rashi Sanhedrin, and how do they not, you know, chab, that you're going against Moshe and Aaron? Like, what kind of a time could they possibly have? So the Shem Yishmuel says, Kairach was not the first one to question Moshe Rabbeinu. There were two more choshev people than Kairach, Emesnik and Tzadikim, that questioned Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, and that was Nodav and Avihu. Chazal say that Nodav and Avihu, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron used to walk in the front, and Nodav and Avihu behind them. Nodav and Avihu, they said, Mosi Amusu, Oisim Zikainen, and we will take over. The difference is that they kept it to themselves. They didn't start a whole movement against Moshe and Aaron and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Kairach did. That was the difference. But the question is, what's that pshat in Nodav and Avihu? Nodav and Avihu with tzaddikim, b'kroy v'yakadosh, mamish kedoshim. So what is the pshat? How could they think such a thing? So, Zokta Shem Yishmuel, they hinted it in their words. Mosa Yehusin Oysen Zekein. They felt that there's a difference in Avihu between a younger person and an older person. An older person, Gevaldigi's close to Hashem, they zichin u'moshin are greater than that. Wasn't even a question. But there's a mile that a younger person has that an older person doesn't. The younger person, he serves Hashem with his guf, with his chitzonius, shochet meir, it's more of his lahavus, it's more of a frishkeit. You can tell on him more. The older person already is more settled, you know, and the machshavas are more mibifnim, but you don't see it as much on the outside. They have a more galasimish one esrei. They speak in a more galasim way, in a less fiery kind of a way, whereas the younger people, they speak in a more fiery. So Nadav and Avihu felt that to be able to communicate with the younger generation, it would be better to have someone who is his lahavis is greater, and that is ma'ir more of his spoilers inside the younger generation. The mistake that they made was, is lehepach. He says, the greater the person is, einoch inami, he's more settled in his thought, and it's not so nicker on his goof. But he thinks about more things to take care of. What was Aaron, who was the Zakin? What was he taking care of? He was going between one person and the next and making shalom. So maybe in his Shemona Esrei, he didn't see that youthful shakl. But he was very much down to earth. And he was very much involved with people. As Chazal say, he would see a chayte, he would walk over to him, he'd start talking to him in a nice, friendly, loving way. The fellow would think to himself, how could it be that I'm in Aaron's presence and I should be a chayte, and he talks to me, and he would want to do tshuva on his own. The zaken that settled Reb Shach, had shaykhs to everybody in Klal Yisrael, to the older generation, to the younger generation. Now, I'm sure you know that Shemona Esrei was much more of a settled Shemona Esrei. Aber lemaiseh is because of his godless that he had more of a hashpo on the people. And that was the mistake of Nodav and Avihu. Agam, they didn't openly rebel, but that was the mistake of Korach as well. Korach was able to convince the Reishon and Sanhedrin for the betterment of Klal Yisrael. To be able to communicate with the younger generation, you need someone that's youthful. And those that came in, you know, they don't have that same Islahavas to ignite everybody else. Utsnuba and Aish, Vesimar Lane, Ktaus of Nehashem, Mocher, Vahoya, Haisha Sheyivchar Hashem, Hu HaKadosh. The man that Hashem chooses, he is the one that is Kadosh. Rav Lochem Bnei Levi. The simple pshat in that Rashi says is, you've taken upon yourself something very great, which means to fight against Hashem is a great undertaking that's more than what you can handle. That's the parsha of pshat. And Rav Lochem Bnei Levi. The Gemara in Sota Daf Yud Gimel Amud Bey says, Omer Rav Levi said, B'Rav Biser, he notified Korach v'Adosai, that they're wrong with Rav Lochem, B'Rav Bisruhu. Now, because Baruch Hu told them that your time has come, he said, Rav Loch, I'll place a davrei life. Sort of like a midah k'neged midah. You said Rav Loch to them, I'm saying Rav Loch to you. Smashman was at this some avla, and Moshe Rabbeinu using the lashon Rav Loch. Now, for sure, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do anything wrong. He had to try and temper them or whatever. But Vaisley's the Lashon Rav Loch, it's enough. That was a little bit of a time. So I saw a pshat, I believe from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, that says that Enoch Inami Korach Vados said they were wrong. But the Meister, there was a she'ifa over there. Might have been a she'ifa gone astray. But there was some sort of a she'ifa over there that they want to come closer to Hashem. And Vaharaya, you see that the fire pans of the 250 people, they were used as coverings for the Mizbeach. How could that be? They were chatonim. Teretz is, Enoch Nami, they went astray. But there was some sort of a machshava there of she'ifa, and a she'ifa is always a good thing. And there was a tiny, a little bit of Moshe Rabbeinu, because he used that Lashon Rav Loch, it gave a little bit the impression that hold on to your she'ifas. Don't go too far with your she'ifas. So when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Rav Loch, you use the word Rav Loch. Rav Loch, it's enough that you have what you have. You want to go weiter into Eretz Yisrael with more mitzvahs, whether it's mitzvahs up to his baretz, whatever the reason Moshe Rabbeinu had, Rav Loch, it's enough. Mida k'neged mida. I saw a Moshe k'maisa. Rameir Shapiro, when he was a little boy, he was an Eluyish kid, big Eluy, and his father didn't know what to do with him. The Melamdim, he was 10 years old, 9 years old, there were no Melamdim that were able to handle him. So one time he was talking to a Rosh Yeshiva, a yeshiva for high school boys, he had a Mesivta, going to Shalom Askowitz, Zeichet Tzadik Levrachim. And he was talking to him, and he said, I don't know what to do with my son. She said, send him to my yeshiva. He's a little bit young, but eventually he'll, you know, catch on. So he sent him to that yeshiva as a 10-year-old boy. So Rosh Hashanah Askowitz's daughter, She was also about 9-10 years old, and she used to bring the food to the Bachman for lunch, for supper. And, you know, when she was there, she used to talk to little Meir. Little Meir used to talk about his dreams. She'd talk about getting everybody together to learn together, to have a Seder Kavua, to learn the same thing, a Daf Yomi. He was talking about his Shiva, so she was making fun of it. Ah, you know, you're talking dreams, you're talking nonsense. It's never going to get done. And this used to be a constant conversation between them. Many years later, Meir Shapiro was already famous Rav in Lublin, had his yeshiva, Daf Yomi was already well known to many, many people. And his train stopped off in the city with this young girl. Now she was married to a Rav in the city, a Chashver Rav. And hundreds of people came out to greet him by the train. And one of them was the husband of this girl. And he says, my wife sends the Rav special brachas. So he asks him, is your wife close to the vicinity? So he says, yeah, she might have to be, but not far away. So he says, it's shy, she can come here. So he brought her there. Of course, her man didn't look. He was very sneezdig and very upkeep. He says, I just shalom aleichem. Thank you for your greetings. I just wanted to tell you, do you remember when you were making fun of my dreams when we were little children? She said, yeah. She says, now you're a mother. Now you're raising doiris of new Talmidei Chachamim. I just want you to know, never damper the dreams of a little child. If a little child has she'ifas, never throw water on it, never try and knock it out, because you never know how those she'ifas might end up. This is the message that he told me. It's a Yavali Galimut, but it was a little bit of a tainan Moshe for using that lashon, Rav Lachem, which gave a little bit the impression, it's enough, you know, don't go any weiter. That kind of a washing was a little bit of a time on. Vatiftach ha'aretz es piyo, vativala yisam vez boteyem, vez kol ha'odam asher l'koyrach, vez kol ha'rechush. Ramban says, vez kol ha'odam asher l'koyrach, konolei avodim v'shvachis, he had servants and maidservants, and he also had Mitzriim and Cushiim and Canaanim that were working for him, and they were his rechush, and they got swallowed up by the earth. So Simcha Zisel Broid in the Sefer Sumderach says, I mean, what did they do wrong? And it's not Mistaber that the Avodim came out to fight against Moshe. What did the animals do wrong? Like, why were they included in this, the whole rechush? So Zokra Simcha Zisel Broid, it wasn't Betoris and Einish on the Avodim, but it was impossible for them to have a kin. Why? Because a person has an effect not only on himself and his family, but he has an effect on his entire surroundings. What a person is spreads to everything that's around him. That means that these Avodim were poisoned with the poison of a kairach. And the male, they couldn't have a schus kiyum anymore. If he didn't have a schus kiyum, so the people that he had an effect on, they couldn't have a schus kiyum either. And this is a klal gadol that's brought down on the svarim. A person has an effect on the entire bria around them. And the emes is, Chazal say, the Sils Yisharim brings it down, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam HaRishon, Tein Daitcha, make sure, this is your avoider, do not destroy my world. Because the whole world was created as a tashmish for the Adam. If he rules over himself, and he's attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he spreads Kedusha to the rest of the world. And if Lehepach, if he gets involved in Tumah, then he brings Tumah to the world. You see, we find the same thing when the Anshei Dor HaMabul, they were mashkas, when they were Isaac and Aveira, so the Balechaim also changed their teva. The animals, even though it's not their dera to be mashkas, they're min, but they also started breeding with the other min. The earth itself had to be washed away 3 tefachim of the Machreisha. Why? Because a human being has an effect on the entire breed. Maisa Shehoya, when the Noid of Yehuda first became the Rav in Prague, so all of a sudden, shortly afterwards, there was a terrible smell right near the shul. And Mamish, people used to run away, used to walk by and run the other direction. It was a big design for the Beis HaKnesses. It was a terrible, terrible smell, and like the Yehuda had terrible agnes nefesh from it. It was just when he was becoming the Rav, you know, that's when this thing happened. And he fasted Tanesim to find out, to be able to, they tried digging something up, maybe something was buried underneath. Nothing. So I think his grandfather came to him in a dream, and he told him, you shouldn't feel bad, it has nothing to do with you. But many years ago, a person did a chet befarhesi on that makam, and the smell of that aveira still remains with him. So a person is mashpia on the makam. A person, you know, his aveiras and whatever he does is mashpia on the makam. And if kairach, if everybody around him, if they were taken down into that cavern, it means that the whole place did not have a Swiss kiyum. And finally, Emor el Elozer ben Aaron, tell Elozer ben Aaron, the yorem es hamachtes, the machtes, the fire pans that the 250 people brought k'tayres on, and they got burnt up because of it, tell Elozer ben Aaron to do it. So the Me'iri, I think it's in Brachas, the Me'iri says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Elozer and not Aaron? She said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to tell it to Aaron himself to teach us Derech Eretz. What's the pshat? They were fighting against Aaron. So if Aaron would be the one to now pick up the empty machtos, it would be such a patch and pun, such a design. It would be like rubbing their face in the mud. He says, you try getting Aaron to take a look. He is the one that's picking up after you. That would be a terrible, terrible design for them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wanted to teach us Musar. He told the Elozer to do it, not Aaron. So Chaim Shmulevitz, that's how they ask the question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was worried about the covenant of these Chatoim, these people that they mamish raged on Klal Yisrael against Moshe and Aaron. They caused such a havoc in Klal Yisrael, like it never was before. Sforim say all machloikes in Klal Yisrael throughout the generations are rooted in the machloikes of Aaron, of Korach Vadasai. So a terrible thing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chas on their covenant? The answer is yes, of Chaim Shmulevitz. Because the covenant of a person is not hefker. And even if a person is over on an aveira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to where the punishment goes, ad kan besulay. And if they deserve to be swallowed up, or they deserve to be burnt, whatever their aveira was. But after that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, ad kan begvul, and no more bezyonis than that. And that's a lesson to Klal Yisrael. So, you know, sometimes you hear a guy not the way he should be or whatever, and people come out of here. Be very careful. Be very careful. You know, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld fought Mulchamas against Rav Kook. And he accorded him the highest kavod shayach. They were yedidim. Personally, they were yedidim. He accorded him the highest kavod aber when he had to fight the battle. He fought the battle against them. But Chas v'Shalom, there was no pagiyah in kavod whatsoever. And that's a lesson that we're taught by this Limud Utar. A good and Shabbos, everyone.